Thank you so very much for all of your comments coming in so far this morning. I'll run through some of them now. Hundreds of them, actually. I have literally hundreds and hundreds of your comments. Remarkable feedback for that hour. Miss von der Leyen does not represent me, says this listener. Does those who support the genocide do not represent me or most Irish people? When will she visit Gaza? When will she stand up and say, stop the massacre, Israel? Listening as always, Greg, I don't know, but I have to say anywhere I go, I get treated with the utmost respect from young fellas helping me in shops, taking my shopping to cars, etc. They're not all the same, thank God. I know you weren't implying that. I think it all stems from the home, a bit of hard grounding at the beginning of life, never harmed anyone. Yeah, and by the way, thank you for reminding me, because I do, we have an awful lot of young voices on this program. We platform those young voices regularly, and if you're a regular listener, you would know that. And it is very, very clear that when we do talk about people that perhaps are need to change their ways, it is the minority. That's absolutely true. And thank you very much for helping me point that out. Good morning, Greg. The guards don't respect the people. They never had. How many fellas have you seen being arrested for drunk and disorderly, for using bad language to the guards, replying to the guards, talking to them with bad language? First, they can use any language they want. Once you do the same, you're cuffed. That's how they grow up the ladder, provoking arrests. What funny thing is I just, from what I've seen sort of on social media over the last couple of years, you can say absolutely anything to Gardaí without fear of arrest. I think if you're drunk and disorderly and in public and you were abusive to anyone, be it a guard or otherwise, I think that's a public order offence. Maybe that's why they're getting arrested. I don't know. Greg, if someone is jailed for not paying a bill, they could be let out in a few days from jail because of overcrowding. The money should be taken out of his assets or community service. If you don't pay your property tax after your day, then your house, when their house is sold, the tax you don't pay is taken out of your home assets with interest. This should be the same with crime. Good morning, Greg. We have a woman as the Minister of Justice and she's been abysmal. If you're not elected as a woman, tough luck. Don't blame the people for making their own choice. That's one thing the government can't control. Is Brussels going to give the government more money to help speed up asylum applications, as this is the biggest bottleneck? It takes years to assess the applications, which costs millions. Well, one of the promises of the asylum pact is that it will streamline and speed up applications. Can you let Lisa know that listening here, heading to my minimum wage job, I'm an ordinary mother of teens. I'm impressed by her debating abilities. However, even an ordinary mammy like me knows that the largest driver of immigration in this country so far is to enable massive profiteering by greedy landlords, many with links to government. I know personally of immigrants who came here from Canada for the benefits, not Ukraine. Shame on those who used human suffering to create a cash cow. Another, why is the Irish government going to support a Euro leader who tactically supports Israel's genocide when most Irish people recognise the human rights of Palestinians being exterminated in the name of revenge of innocent Israeli victims? Another, sending back offenders is good, but it doesn't help those that are victims of the most heinous crimes. There needs to be strict regulations allowing only the good and decent people, and currently some of the worst get through. Again, the promise of the EU pact is that there'll be better fingerprinting and tracing of people. But again, why do you have to sign up to 6 or 7 measures of a pact to achieve that, some might say? Denmark has opted out of the EU immigration policies and has the lowest ever recorded level of asylum seekers, whereas Ireland has the highest level of asylum seekers. It isn't racist to question why that is. We don't have the highest level, but I take your point. Hi, Greg. This government has the country destroyed in every way. A simple one-liner there. Good morning, Greg. The Irish people are humans too. We're treated like second-class citizens in our own country. The government priorities to its people, not others. Lisa and co. need to all be arrested for treason. They have sold out Ireland, all wearing WF badges. We know who you work for. It's not Ireland. We opt out and kick the refugees. That's simple. It's a bit of a hard line there. We need to follow the shining light of Denmark as they've successfully applied strict immigration policies and opted out of this pact. There are policies about not charging VRT, but Fianna Fáil are happy to ignore that one, says a listener. Another, we have no obligation to treat them well. We have an obligation to treat our own people well and others. We have 12,000 homeless Irish, including children. We've elderly who can't get hospital appointments or beds. This is the issue. Where is our right? We are the taxpayers, says that listener. Voting for this pact is an absolute disgrace with the people of this country. Is this called democracy? Where are the rights of Irish citizens? Let me see. That soldier, being such a good fighter, should be sentenced to serve the 5 years with the Ukrainian army on the Russian front line or on the Ukrainian front line. Gandhi made a comment several years ago, and it always stuck with me, that Europe will be conquered without lifting the sword. How true that is today. We only have to look at every European country. We can see exactly where they are and the difficulties they have. France, Germany, Sweden are now paying the price. Even the UK, and how they've to handle something as basic as their education. I hope that your guests are on here are hanging, banging on how great this policy is. We'll be here in 50 years to see how our grandchildren are coping. Another, Greg, I believe the lack of a prison sentence is down to prison space, as we've seen time and time again. Well, one way you could alleviate that is to let people out of prison that really probably shouldn't be there. And that frees up space, doesn't it, for those who should. On and on it goes. Thank you so much for all of your comments. I'm not finished there, by the way. I will read more out. I just want to say a couple of requests. Hi, Greg. Good luck to Donegal in the quarterfinals. It's great to be back in Croke Park. Get the colours out. Any chance of Jimmy's winning matches? Thanks. Well, we'll see. We might play out with that. I have to say, I think there's a great splash of green and gold around the county. It is great to see. Obviously, the listener saying, let's get more of it out there. But I think the county is really behind this team and it shows. Hi, Greg. Will you say a big hello to Conor McCready, aged 11, from Carrigans, who's doing a big mega draw with 130 prizes for Jive for June. It's in aid of the Donegal Hospice and is fundraising since he was 7 years old. He has an event in Swilly Inn in Manor Cunningham on the 30th of June with live music, jiving, tray bakes, etc. We're hoping you might call and have a wee jive at 2 p.m. Everyone still can buy tickets on Donegal's Hospice page or online. We're also proud of Connor, such an inspirational young man. Is that Connor who I was speaking to down in Donegal Town, I wonder? I believe it probably is. Is that Connor? Well, Connor needs to come on and plug that himself. I'll look after you, Connor. No, Connor's 11. The other gentleman I was speaking to, the other person I was speaking to, was a little bit older, I think, than Connor. But if he wants to come on, I'll be good to him. I'll look after him. He can come on and give it a good plug himself. Now, we're going to play the bingo numbers for you. But the question is, have you bought your Vision Island Radio bingo books? Now, as I said before, It's not a club. It's not something you have to be there from the start. You can go and get a book in your shop whenever you like, your local shop. And you are one of the key funders for Vision Ireland in Donegal. They help people with vision impairment, especially those, you know, all people, but, you know, especially those, and it can happen to us at any time, that are told that our vision is deteriorating or we're losing our vision. And they've got so much support locally for those people. I hear amazing things about them. But one thing we don't often talk about is the winners on the bingo, because whilst Vision Ireland does very well out of your generosity and you playing for fun, so do the people that play. So I want to give you a quick rundown of some of the winners of late. We had a €1,200 winning book bought in Super Value in Carndonagh, so one player picking up €1,200. €1,000 winning book was bought in Alexander's in Ballybuffet, so you can see there's a lovely spread. €800 book was bought in St. Johnson's, Cost Cutters, Glenties, and Old Daily's Lifford, Spar in Glencar, Letterkenny as well. €600, €500, €400 and €200 winning books were bought in the Dry Arch, Letterkenny, Blaney's, Kerrykeel, On Store, Gorter Hawk, Centra, Clonmany, and many more outlets throughout the Northwest. So don't forget, the daily prize is €400 for a full house with a rollover. Our jackpot, €12,200, with weekly rollover, additional €200 as well. So don't forget to get your book, and you can get it in your local shop and support Vision Ireland. But as you can see from those numbers too, being with a chance of winning some very tidy amounts of cash. Now, the 3rd of July at 3 p.m. in On Green on Theatre Letterkenny is the date, time and venue where Letterkenny Chamber will celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Chapelle K brand. Tony Forrester is CEO of Letterkenny Chamber and joins us now. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Greg.
I suppose whenever an idea is formulated and put into action, you never truly know how successful it's going to be. But I think there's no doubt 20 years on, and especially with the Chapelle K vouchers and what have you, this has proven to be a huge success for businesses in the town.
Yeah, it's amazing. And when I look back, I wasn't here obviously in 2004. When I look back, and their whole aim was about local shopping keeps people in work. That was the kind of the strap line. And they always called it Shop LK, which I thought was really interesting, and we've never changed that. So whoever, and I think there was a few people involved from way back, when they came up with that, I don't think they had any idea it would be as stay as strong as it did and grow as much as it did.
And I think it's kind of grown with...
The reasoning was right.
Yeah, of course, Tommy. Sorry, I thought you were finished there. And of course, it's grown with Letterkenny, hasn't it? You know, I mean, obviously, particularly as these being gifted by employees and what have you, on top of the other way it's used, it's sort of, as I say, it's kind of grown with Letterkenny over the last two decades.
It certainly has. When I look back at even the ads we used to put in, we used to put ads in the paper, you know, and they would list, be able to list the amount of places that could take. The voucher didn't come into 2006. But they could list who supported Shop LK on one wee tiny page, you know, and now we've got 260 outlets. And really, you know, it just grew and grew and grew. So, and the one thing I suppose they always said when they first set this up, well, when the Chamber first set this up, was we weren't excluding anybody. So I think that was a really clever thing as well. They never said we don't want the large chains in it as well. And that has really helped over the last number of years in particular.
Yeah, because this initiative really works with, there's two things. A, it has to be easily to obtain, And B, you have the more places you can spend it, the better.
Yeah, and really it is. We keep saying it's really about local shopping. And it's still that same thing. You know, if we support our local, any outlet here in Letterkenny that operates here, you're supplying a job for some of the young people at school. You're supplying a job for somebody who wants to come here and work. So the better, the more we get the message out about local, the better. You know, and it just means people stay here.
Am I correct in saying last year the total voucher sales were 5.74 million?
They certainly were.
I mean, that is remarkable because that is money that ends up being spent in Letterkenny.
Yeah, it's huge. Last year we kind of thought 5 million because we'd done 4 the year before, but we were blown away, to be honest about it. A lot of that is the corporates who buy for their staff. And to be honest, there's a real giving sense here in Donegal. You know, people give something at Christmas to everybody. And they use it's tax efficient, obviously, but that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but the corporates have other options. There are other ways they could do this, you see, but they're still choosing the LK Shop LK vouchers or scheme or the system. You know what I mean? So I think the fact that it's being chosen is actually a good sign of the value that's placed on it.
And some companies actually ask their staff, you know, which one, what do you want? Mm. And they pick Shop LK.
Brilliant.
And it's the sheer variety. If I'm really honest, you know, you can get your oil filled, bike, tires for your car, or go on a pamper session for yourself. You know, so it just depends on what you're, you know, you want it for.
That's your average Monday afternoon, I hear, Tony.
Yeah, every week, every day.
Oil, tires, and a pamper. What's happening in Ungrianon on next Wednesday then at 3 p.m.?
Yeah, so this is sort of kicking off our year of celebration. So we're just going to have, we're going to have some food, we're going to have a barbecue, and we're going to have a few displays up of our kind of journey over the 20 years. And we'll have an ice cream van there and a bit of music. And we're just going to invite anybody along who wants to come and celebrate with us. So hopefully it'll be a nice day. We'll be outside. And a few people from the past, one who was from your parish, I have to say, Joanne Sweeney. You know, we've invited some of the old heads up. And hopefully some of those people who were around at the beginning will be there to help celebrate.
That's 3 p.m. at Ungrianon Theatre. Sounds like it'll be a lovely event and the start of a year of events, as you heard Tony mention there. Go ahead.
I can just say we will have some giveaways on the day, but we'll also be running some campaigns over the next weeks and months. And there'll be some really big giveaways.
Brilliant. Stay tuned for that. A quick word on the 2024 Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards, well established as one of the biggest nights for glitz and glamour and what have you in the Donegal calendar. Where are we at in the process at the moment?
So we're still accepting applications and encourage anybody to apply now. There's 17 categories this year, so if people can just get their applications in as soon as possible. We are extending that. We had a closing date of 1st of July, so we'll extend that for 2 weeks. And so if people can just get that in as soon as possible, just strike today with Aaron's hot. And the categories are so wide, there's so many. Just you'll fit somewhere. We also for retailer, it's Letterkenny retailer, Shop LK retailer of the year this year. we're asking just for nominations for that. So if people just want to send us the nominations, we'll be really happy to take those.
Brilliant stuff. A couple of calls about the voucher. Does it lose €2 a month after a year?
Yes.
This is part of new legislation that was actually introduced by government. It retains all of its value for a year, and then after that, each month it loses €2 in value. That's to do with administration and what have you, I'd imagine.
Yes, most gift cards work that way. It's called drawdown, and I suppose everybody has to, you know, the company that runs this with us, so everybody has to make some money on this. We don't necessarily, but they do. And be honest, our sort of drawdown rate is really low. People here spend, and they spend within a year, and now they know that this, and we're upfront about this charge. Now they know about it, we're definitely seeing a pattern of how they spend.
Yep, spend it within a year, and you don't have to worry about it. It's okay.
And you don't have to worry about losing it as well, Greg.
Exactly. The big event next week is 3 p.m. in On Green on Theatre Letterkenny. Hosted by the Letterkenny Chamber, of course, as they celebrate the 20th anniversary of their branding of Shop LK. And check out the social medias as well, and get your entries into the 2024 Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards. Okay, thanks very much, Tony. Have a lovely one.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. That's Tony Forrester, who is the CEO of Letterkenny Chamber. Yeah, it's all happening in Dublin this weekend. And not just this weekend, last weekend, Pink played in Dublin. US superstar Taylor Swift, she's going to draw 165,000 fans to her Eras Tour at the Aviva Stadium. Shania Twain's at the Three Arena. The Villagers at Trinity College. The Saw Doctors at Leopardstown Racecourse. That's just music. Marley Park too, also. They have the Longitude Festival that is on there. And, of course, the Pride Festival is on. Dublin Pride has its 50th anniversary for football quarterfinals. It's all very, very busy. But sticking with the music, you would think, wouldn't you, that the music industry's never been in better shape here in Ireland. You know, hundreds of thousands of people out this weekend alone to see some of their favourite stars. But it doesn't tell the full picture because a number of music festivals, the musical festival scene, which gives local artists their platform and often a platform they can spring forward on, they're under pressure. 9 festivals already have been cancelled this year or aren't going ahead. And it's a concern to Donegal Deputy Pierce Stoddard, who also is chair of the SULT Music Festival in Gwydor. And he raised this issue and is making some calls on government. And he is with us now. Good morning, Deputy Doherty. Thanks for your time.
Good morning to you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so as I said in the preamble there, you know, on the face of it, it looks like we're booming here, but the grassroots, not so much.
No, and look, it's a tale of two worlds, really. Like, you have, you know, your large Taylor Swift's, your Pink, you know, and you've got sell-out concerts there. And these are huge international acts, and, you know, loads of people will go to them and they'll have a great time. But then there's the independent festival network across the state. And I've probably got an insight of that. As you said, I'm the founder and director and chair of the SULT Festival in Gwydor, and that's been going now for the last 8 years. And we've seen, you know, we've seen what's happening within the sector. It's a not-for-profit festival as well, so we're quite unique. But we've seen what happens within the sector. We've seen the price rises, what's happened. But we're also seeing what has happened with other festivals across the state. And we look at the trends, because obviously what's happening there could possibly affect yourself. And we're in a good position. Thank God our festival goes ahead again in a fortnight's time in Gwydor. But what we've seen across the state is 9 festivals, as you said, have closed down. And some have taken a pause that they're not going ahead this year, that they need to reevaluate some of how they're offering, because there has been changes in how people are, you know, attending festivals post COVID. There's also been huge kind of price rises as a result of inflation that everybody is feeling in terms of cost of living, but that's also applies to, you know, to all of the costs that would underpin a festival. And like, to give your listeners an example, like, our festival in Gidora, ours is the second biggest music festival in the Northwest after Sea Sessions. We used to have Wild Roots in Sligo. It's not going ahead anymore. It actually cancelled very abruptly a week before it was supposed to go ahead, unfortunately. And we had Far West in Mayo, and that's also now cancelled, not going ahead this year. So ours is quite a decent sized festival. It's got about 4,000 people coming into it, and it costs about $300,000 to run, Craig. But most of that money has to be paid out before any tickets or very few tickets are sold. Like all of the kind of acts that we have to pay in, our headliner is example, he'll be flying in a charter plane into Donegal Airport straight after he headlines a major music festival in Glasgow. His fee has to be paid immediately once you book them, and you're booking these acts like well in advance before even tickets go on sale. So a lot of festivals are really struggling with cash flow issues, because a lot of people decide to, and I'm guilty of this myself, lastminute.com, buy the ticket on the day or the day before or so on and so forth. And that causes financial pressure for festivals as well. So it's not just a trend in Ireland. It's happening in Britain as well. We've had 50 festivals closed down in Britain up until now. And the point I was making to the government is, see all of these like Irish acts, you know, that we've got the likes of Bell X1, we've Welshie, we've Hurt, and we've international acts coming as well, like example in Alabama 3 and so on. But those acts, this is their bread and butter. This is how they survive. This is how they pay their wages. This is how their tour managers get paid. They're not going to be opening for Taylor Swift. They're not going to be doing the Aviva. They're not going to be doing Crow Park. Maybe someday in the future they all aspire to. But if these festivals, if the amount of festivals that have closed down continues, then we have a serious problem in relation to how we actually support this industry. And
what can be done then? Because I mean, obviously, it's about it's about as well to, it's about the acts as well. You've got a great lineup there, don't get me wrong, okay? But it also does come down to the feet on the ground as well, doesn't it? You know, I mean, look at the amount of money's being pumped into the pockets of Pink, Taylor Swift, and others, and I suppose maybe that's the big weekend out for a lot of the people. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is, whether we like it or not, and it might not be a level playing field, it is a competitive area, and you have to compete in that area. I mean, what, you can't expect to be supported by government, really, can you?
It is exactly as you said. It's kind of supply and demand, and then the question really has, and I wouldn't be coming at it, as I said, we're not for profit, so we don't make any profit anyway, and nobody takes fees or anything like that there. So, so I'm not interested in really, supporting the companies or supporting the organizations. The issue is, I see it firsthand, like we've got some acts that are there, and they're, what they're looking for is a wider audience to try and, you know, break through and get more captive audiences. We've other acts that basically, you know, that they need the fee. The fee might be 35, 40,000, 50,000. It could be 50,000.
Yeah.
And there's some of the fees that we would pay our acts. They need that fee because that's what pays their wages during the year. And like, we have to think, are we going to have that type of sector in the future? Because if you see more and more festivals closing down, and we're only left to the big, which are usually operated not independently, but they're usually operated by the large promoters like Aiken or MCD, then you've lost a big, big fabric in terms of community. So there's a number of things that are happening. People after COVID, less and less people want to camp. And that's they don't want to do the camping or as much as they want to do. So festivals will have to adapt and respond to that. The second thing is COVID actually impacted a lot of festivals. If you take our festival, as I said, we had acts booked, we had advertisement and all that. We had spent a huge amount of money promoting, because you have to plan a festival a year in advance. Not one penny of support did we get from anywhere in the state in terms of our festival.
But you also have to retain that space in the calendar too after that pause, which it almost can be like starting from the beginning.
You do, but if you're wiped out, if you've lost €30,000 because of COVID, and like other businesses were being supported and all that, then that's your start, and you've lost some kind of financial reserves, and that's hurt a lot of festivals in the time forward. So the question is there something that we can do that actually supports the festival sector? There are type of grants that Welsh Ireland provide in terms of the festival investment scheme, but they're very, very small. It doesn't
matter. And they can also come quite late in the year too, if my memory serves me correctly.
They can. Like many of the grants, you know, we're lucky that the council has supported us. It's a small enough grant, but, you know, in the context of an overall, it's about 1% of our overall costs. But that being said, it's still there. What I'm looking for is actually the government and the department to convene a round table with some of these festivals, with the music industry, with the Irish Acts Association, and actually say, look, what can we do here? What can be done? Is there financial support? Is there kind of more kind of, maybe it's not even financial support, maybe it's professional support in terms of running these festivals. Some of these festivals that have aren't going ahead are community festivals.
I think it really is about seeing the value in the festivals in terms of the, you know, our tourism product, you know. Also supporting the industry, the development of younger artists. Obviously, look at, you've had to book example there as the headliners, that's grand. But there are other artists that, you know, are getting up onto the big stage, building their audiences in an organic way. I think it's about seeing this, it's about seeing the value in this area. And once that's established, maybe it might be easier to see the benefit in supporting it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and you know, at Salt this year, we'll have Hurthan. One of the musicians from Hurthan is from Gidor. They are absolutely, I think, they sing songs in Irish and in English, and I think they're going to be absolutely fantastic. They've got a unique voice, and we've got Hannah B, another young girl from Gidor, with her own band now. RTE are going to be featuring her later in the year. We'll see her on our TV screens. But these are individuals that get an opportunity. Yeah, it's just fantastic. It gives an opportunity to actually say, you know, that I played at a major festival with, you know, major stage and the same kind of sounding and lighting that you get at Marley Park, but also with these international acts. Like in one of the previous festivals we had, and unfortunately, the act didn't go ahead, Aslan. But I think one of the last interviews that Christy Dickman ever did was with Highland Radio, and he was promoting going to Salt that Friday or that Saturday. And 2 days after the interview, we got the notice that he was taken into hospital. And you know, unfortunately, he never played after that anywhere. And Mundy stepped in for us. But like the likes of the Aslans, the likes of the Mundys, it is these type of festivals that keep, that actually paid their wages. It's crucially... It's crucially important, and that's not big money. Like, you know, that's, you know, in some of these fees, you're talking about 5,000, 7,000, 15,000, you know, but it's really important, and they need X amount of festivals to actually keep them going. So there is a question, as I said, is, are we going to support Irish music? And it's not just Irish music, it's the sound engineers, it's the audio, it's everything that spills from that. And are we going to give people an opportunity? The whole reason we founded Salt is we want to keep people in Northwest Donegal and be able to provide them the same type of atmosphere, quality of music, of both local, national and international, that they could taste in Dublin or in Belfast, but they don't have to travel. So that's the point of it. And in fairness to Micheál Martin, he said that he's open to it, and I've now written to
the government did, indeed, as I say, fairness where it's due, the government did do quite a bit post-COVID, now maybe it favoured some over others, but they did... they just need to show the same recognition as they did for the industry post-COVID, I think, sort of into the long term. It'll be self-sustaining, but it just needs really to be supported. It's not like a bailout. I think it's actually just to promote it and to harness it and to keep it going. And as I say, these are self-sustainable for the most part. So it's not about subsidizing them, I don't think, unless I'm...
No, absolutely. And our festival has been profitable every year. You know, last year we took a hit, but every other year we've been profitable. So we've been able to have reserves and we've been able to grow and all the rest. And just to give a plug out to Donegal Town, because this weekend they have a festival and they've got an excellent lineup and Block Rotten Beats and others. They've Honour playing and all the rest. A lot of this is weather dependent, you know, and that's the problem. That's the risk that comes with.
Oh, well, listen, I've seen it myself. You're either wedged or you're half full. It depends. And the new diamond in inverted commas is open down there as well for that weekend. It actually officially opens today. In fact, the hoardings are down now. Finally, any tickets still available for the Salt Musical Fest Music Festival?
Yeah. Absolutely, and they're some of the cheapest tickets you'll get in the country. It's only €45 for a day ticket, €85 for the weekend. And if you want to camp for the weekend, you won't camp cheaper than Gidor. It's only €5 to camp in our fully secured site. So it's a not-for-profit, and anybody who's thinking of going to Salt, we've buses running from all over the county, from Donegal Town, Killybeg, Letterkenny, Milford, all over the county. There's bus companies are running, and anybody who's going, I'd say buy your tickets now before they sell out.
The irony is you're probably going to be taking people out of the pubs in those towns with local bands in. But listen, that's just the way it is, and I'm not being smart, and probably not a nice note to finish on. I didn't mean it with any badness. All right, and is it Sult, S-U-L-T dot I-E? Is that
what? S-U-L-T, which, yeah, Sult Féile, S-U-L-T-F-E-I-L-E is the website, Sult Féile, and Sult is the Irish for the word for enjoy.
Brilliant.
And if you want, Greg, we can pass you over to 2 weekend tickets if you want to raffle them off in the show at some time. I'm more than happy to
do that. But that started off so well. Like, I felt like I was getting something, and next thing it's for blooming listeners. But listen, I'd need a posh glamping. You know, I couldn't lie in the ground anymore at my age with my back. Come here.
Well, there's buses running. You'll get a bus right back home. Okay. So you'll be all right.
But come here. We'll take you up on that. We'll touch no base problem. With you. Thanks very much indeed. Okay, that is Deputy Piers Doherty there talking generally about the support for the festival scene, but also in the context of him being the chair and founder of the Sult Music Festival in Gwydor, example playing headlining, but loads of other acts there as well. Now, if you are in the Glasgow area, you may have noticed that your water is off. We're joined by Sheila on line one. I believe it's Sheila. If I got the pronunciation correct.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
Okay,
you
Sheila. Have. Thanks very much for your time. Right. Okay. Water off in your area. Tell us when it went off and what's the history there.
The water, to my knowledge, has been off since yesterday morning. I got up out of bed to find a note from my husband, who was away to work before I got up, saying that the water was off, and it's still off. Now, we were told it was back yesterday evening. It never came back to us. According to Irish Water, the problem was fixed yesterday, and that this is another problem today. But we never got the water back at any stage. This has been going on for the last at least 6 years since they upgraded the water treatment plant in Ardsbeg. There have been hundreds of days that we've been left without water. They've replaced some pipes in the Derry Corner area. They've replaced some pipes in the Meanacladdy or the Cornsport area. But Meanacladdy and Glashahoo are still getting a lot of bursts. Because we sit high in Glashahoo, we tend to lose the water before other people. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday evening, before people in Meanacladdy started noticing that the water was gone, the problem with that is there's houses in Meanacladdy that have Irish college students. So one house in particular has 14 kids staying in the house as well as their own family. And it's ridiculous that she was having to tell them last night, don't be washing by me, you can't have a shower, you can't do this and you can't do that. Another house in the water pressure has obviously dropped in Derry Corner in Derry Corner and in Cornsport today as well, because they're noticing low pressure. So I think our only saving grace is the rain yesterday kept the reservoir full.
Are you on the
R2? Only for that they'd have all been without water.
Are you on the R264, Sheila?
Well, you're asking a good question.
It's in and around Rifo, isn't it? Yeah.
And then around where?
Rifo?
No, we're down in Gortahawk.
Gortahawk, I beg your pardon. All right, no, because Sorry, Glashahoo, of course, yes. I've confused it with somewhere else, okay.
Yeah. No, that's fine. So, like I say, this has been going on for a large number of years, at least 6 years now. It's 5 years since we set up a WhatsApp group with the county councillors, and I know John Hamish and Micheál Colum are trying their best to get it rectified. And like I say, some of the pipes have been replaced, but they need to replace the rest because they're old lead pipes that were put down in the 50s. They're crumbling. There's asbestos in them. There's lead in them. God knows what's going through our water every time there's one of them bursts. We were having to leave the water and let it run to try and clear the water before we can use it because we don't know what's in it. I had to ring my mother-in-law this morning because her daughters were away at a wedding yesterday. To say to her, please don't put on a big fire because there's been no water since yesterday. You could end up losing your back boiler. I've had another person contact me this morning saying she had to do the same with a relation of hers. Mm. This is elderly people that you're afraid to put on fires because they've got back boilers in their fireplaces. It's ridiculous at this day and age that we're still fighting this long.
Yeah,
every one of those bursts.
Aaron said yesterday, they reported the burst yesterday. They said it would be on by 6 p.m, but wait a couple of hours for a reply to be returned. And just to back up what you've saying there, they've put it out again today that there is another burst. and it'll be 5:45 this evening before. But I mean, it's ongoing. Could it happen again tomorrow?
It's ongoing. We had a wedding in the townland yesterday. Mm. Families going to a wedding and no water to shower in the morning. It's ridiculous that in this day and age that, you know, that thing. And it's another example of the government's lack of respect for the Gaeltacht areas. Mm. And that's what I'm putting it down for. And can I just say, yes, before I go any further, to anybody that's listening, and this goes for anybody throughout the county, if you have a problem with your water, don't be waiting for your neighbour to ring and make the complaint. I know it takes about 5 or 10 minutes to lodge a complaint every time you ring them, but please do ring them, because the more complaints they're getting, the quicker they're going to have to stand up and do something about it.
Yeah, it's not actually about highlighting the issue. The more people that ring, the more urgency it gets. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100% there, Mary. Sorry, Sheila. Mary is with me. There's my confusion. Mary, you know, this affects people in different ways, as we've heard. You know, there's a lot of people in the area at Irish College. They're living with families in the area and what have you. And then there are other people caring for young people and older people and just generally need access to good, clean, reliable water. Mary, what's your situation? And good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning, Sheila. Yeah, I was just really disappointed this week to see that yet again the water was off Monday, was off Thursday, and obviously today. We're actually caring for somebody who is elderly with dementia, and if you even look at the area, you know, they've replaced water pipes in Maharorty, Meanlara, Cairnsport. And if you look at the areas that they've neglected, which would be Glashahu and Minicladdy, and if we look at the government's report on the Pobble Deprivation Index, those townlands are the most deprived and the absolute whole of rural Ireland. Mm-hmm. So it's very fitting that they would actually not even address the needs of the elderly community that would be in that area. And as Sheila said earlier, people in that area are engaging with the Irish language. They have the students in as a form of income every summer, and they're being let down again because they just don't seem to be able to find the funding. And it's surprising because when you look at the actual cost of a burst, I believe the cost of a burst is something like 18 to 2500. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the number of times that it's actually been repaired, the cost of replacing the pipe would have been well covered.
It's sending good money after bad, isn't it?
Can I just drop in there, Mary? It's actually 4,000 for every one of those.
4,000.
Okay. And at the start of last year, there was 100. At the start of last year, there was 115 bursts in our area.
600,000 euro, I think. And Mary, you know, like, we often think of water as in preparing food or drinking water, critical as well.
Yeah.
But I know myself from what the outage is. Flushing a toilet, putting the heating on. I mean, there's a lot of older people and people with younger people, everyone actually, who still rely on an open fire or a back boiler or a stove that heats the water. With these outages, I think you know of one older person that lit a fire, Mary.
Yeah, he did. Now, what happened was, as you say, we're considering their basic needs, and the basic needs of anybody is to have water. And you're looking at the dignity of not even having the ability to flush your toilet, to have a shower in the morning, to have a basic wash, to have a cup of tea. So obviously we are in the situation where we're obviously bringing bottled water to the home. We have set up, there's a system to collect water so we can fill the toilet cistern so the water can flush the toilet. But, you know, it's very disheartening for somebody who's you know, and the older generation who should be cared for and supported, and to be left in a home with no water. And obviously what happened yesterday was, you know, the absolute fear when the fire was put on by mistake. He had forgotten and lit the fire when we had gone, and the cracking of pipes.
It's horrible, I've heard. It's so sad. This is not just about getting the water back on today, obviously. As Sheila pointed out, and as you've pointed out, Mary, this is going on for an awful long time. And taxpayers' money, €600,000 spent last year fixing bursts. That's not a good use of Exchequer funding, I would say. So regardless of whether the water comes on today or not, we're going to chase this up with Ishgair and, of course, and try and get some answers, maybe an interview with them. And keep us updated, both Mary and Sheila. As I say, we do have to just rush off for the news now, but we just won't forget about it just because the weekend's coming. Is that okay?
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to highlight it. Thank you.
Back to me as well. Just don't let it be a one-time thing. That's Sheila, that's Mary. If you're in the Gatsachew area, let us know if you're impacted by that too.